endless men whose age will be not to defense of ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, his lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
I want to say thank you again for tuning into the broadcast or for taking the time to listen in on the archives from our website. I'm humbled that you would take the time to listen to what I believe God has shown me and would have me to preach. I don't take this lightly. I know that there are people out there who are listening to every single message in this series, and my prayer is that each and every one of us are drawn closer to the understanding that the kingdom of God is a present-day reality today. My prayer today is to know more. All I've ever wanted out of life is to know God, to know His Son, and to know the truth of His Word and His kingdom. I hope that's your desire and prayer also. Here's a song that I first heard as a child. It brings back fond memories every time I hear it. I wanted to sing it today, More About Jesus.
Should see.
In the understanding that all Bible prophecy has been fulfilled, I want you to understand that I'm ultimately claiming two really big beliefs, or faiths, if you will. Number one, that all the prophecies contained in what are referred to as the Old Testament scriptures that look like futurist fulfillments. In other words, what modern preachers say are either being fulfilled right now or in the time to come. All those prophecies have already been fulfilled, and they were fulfilled beginning with John the Baptist and concluding at AD 70 with the destruction of the temple. Any prophecies that allude to the Messiah of Israel were all fulfilled in Christ. And when he finished his work here, he left absolutely nothing undone. All the prophecies to Israel were 100% completely fulfilled by AD 70 at the destruction of the temple. Number two, as a result of Christ fulfilling the prophecies, the full implementation of the kingdom of God has been established on this earth for 2,000 years. There will be nothing else coming. There is no third coming of Christ to this earth. His first coming and his second coming were prophesied, and both were fulfilled exactly as promised from the scripture. Now, with that understanding, many people balk. Some scoff, and some ask for more details. Some people point to some Old Testament prophecies and read them and say, see, no way has that been fulfilled. It has to be in our future. Continuing in our study of the already completed second coming of Christ, as shown in the book of Acts, I want us to revisit something that is the bedrock belief of futurism and is thoroughly explained in Acts chapter 2, if only we will accept it. Now, we've touched on this earlier, but today I believe we need to look at it much, much closer. Turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Beginning in verse number 1, let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse number 1, and it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and Yahweh had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth with curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for Yahweh is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of Yahweh came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith Yahweh, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also Yahweh telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And when King David went in, then went King David in and sat before Yahweh, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Yahweh God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, behold, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed thyself, thy people Israel, to be a people unto thee for ever, and thou, Yahweh, art become their God. And now, O Yahweh God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, and concerning his house, establish it for ever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified for ever, saying, Yahweh of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, Yahweh of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised thy goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Now, if we were to take this prophecy or this promise to David and remove it from the rest of the Bible and lay it out on the table, we could possibly construe the fulfillment of this passage to be a literal physical kingdom ruling over the earth, originating from a literal physical throne that could be sat upon, touched, and seen. And the truth is, that's exactly what most all who, all quote unquote, modern Christian religious preachers have done with this passage of Scripture. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that if we took this passage out and laid it on the table all by itself, that's exactly what it looks like. But what I'm trying to get people to see is sometimes what looks like something that's written in the Old Testament prophets may appear to mean something totally different, especially if we seek its fulfillment in things other than Christ. Now, for those who've been listening to my messages, you've heard me say over and over and over that we just need to read the word and believe it for what it says. And then you hear me say something like I just said and wonder if I'm contradicting myself. But not at all. I'm not contradicting myself at all. When we look at the writings of the prophets and then we find the fulfillments in Christ, sure, now we understand what was meant by the original prophecy. And we get it. But ultimately, by not understanding that this passage is referring to the kingdom of God and that the king on this throne is Christ, and he has been seated on that throne ruling and reigning for 2,000 years, and he will never give up that throne, and he is no less king ruling from the right hand of God as if he would be if he returned to this earth to rule. We're going to find ourselves with all sorts of double-minded theories that have no basis in Scripture. If we will only believe in the kingdom of God as if Christ is actually physically ruling on a physical throne on this earth today, if that's the only thing that we'll believe about the kingdom of God and its present-day reality, then we're going to miss it, because all those other theories, all those other things that derive or that come from not seeing the fulfillment of these prophecies in Christ, that's where they lead. We're going to end up with preachers, so-called, trying to convince people that the temple in Jerusalem must be rebuilt, even though the book of Acts tells us very clearly that God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. And we have a God who at one time did believe in temples made with hands. Then he quit for a while. Then he can't make up his mind. So one day he's going to do it again. Then we have a God who was pleased with the sacrificing of animals. Then he decided that he would change that. Then he decided that he'd once again reinstitute it. Then we have a God who wants a people for himself, a people who are not ashamed to call him God. Then God decides that he'll go ahead and have his, quote, chosen people from among people that killed his son and want nothing whatsoever to do with his son. And they deny that Jesus Christ is God's son sent to this earth 2,000 years ago. But yet somehow God going to prefers those people over people who did accept his son, who have placed their faith in God's only begotten son, who have placed his son, Jesus the Christ, on the throne of their lives. Wow, it appears that we have a rather mixed up God who can't seem to make up his mind. But I'm glad that's not the God that I serve, and I hope you are too. Now, of course, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 2 and see the clear fulfillment of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and see exactly what God meant by his promise to David so that we can say, yep, here's the clear words of God. Let's just believe them for exactly what they say. Now, we've already done that before, but we're going to go back to it again. But before we do, I want to look at something else real quick. I want us to go to the prophecy of Zechariah. And Zechariah is another prophecy that because the people have refused to find its fulfillment of Christ, they've twisted that prophecy into meanings that it does not have. And they take the book of Zechariah and they say, oh, look, these are all fulfillments that are happening right now or going to happen, rather than seeking to find those fulfillments in Christ. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 14. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now I'm going to tell you that when the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom took place in the first century, the ones that were saved were the ones who accepted Christ. And the ones who were ravished and the ones who were cut off were the ones who did not accept Christ. They didn't accept the preaching of the kingdom of Christ. Verse 3. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which was before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And Yahweh my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. To me, I see that fulfillment just as clear as can be in the books of Thessalonians. Verse number 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. You know, we can sit here and talk about that too if you want to. And I'm going to tell you right now, I see something very positive in the fact that the scriptures say that the apostles, when they preached the kingdom of Christ, that they turned the world upside down. Right here it says that at evening time it shall be light. The modern preacher takes this passage and puts it at the very least 2,000 years from the time of Christ. I don't believe that we can do that. I believe that all these prophecies have got to find their fulfillment in Christ. Verse 8, Zechariah chapter 14. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. I didn't bring this up in my message, but when you look at the book of Acts and you see the scripture says that there is only one name, neither is there any other name given among heaven whereby men will be saved, one name. And I see this right here as being fulfilled in the book of Acts. Turn over to John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. We're going to talk about the living waters that go out from Jerusalem from Zechariah chapter 14. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Oh, yes, he's greater than the father Jacob. And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in that thou sayest truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. But worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh my goodness. I'm afraid we've lost sight of exactly who this Jesus was and is. Can we not plainly see that living waters were flowing out of Jerusalem? Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Zechariah 14:8. If we had been reading Zechariah 14:8 years before the Messiah arrived, what would we have thought? How would we have thought the prophecy would be fulfilled? Would we have dramatized it as actual physical waters, H2O, flowing with some miraculous powers? I don't know. But all I can say is this. If someone wants to try and say that the living waters flowing out of Jerusalem as described in Zechariah 14:8 were not fulfilled in Christ, then I just don't understand what else that we could possibly come up with. Look with me to Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. We talked in a couple messages ago that the word Lord there means one who is supreme in authority. Verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. Is this the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 14? Is this the fulfillment of Zechariah 9 verse 9? Verse 8 of Zechariah 9 says, "And I will encamp mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now I have seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even unto the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. And Yahweh shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and Yahweh shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. Yahweh of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine. And they shall be filled like bulls in his corners of the altar. And Yahweh their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine with the maids." Will we take some of the verses in Zechariah and apply them to Christ? And then take other verses and apply it into the future to a different Messiah, to a Jewish Messiah that will use a rebuilt physical temple and will look to the reinstitution of animal sacrifices? I'm telling you, the fulfillment of the prophecies of Zechariah were fulfilled in Christ. When you get to the end of Zechariah in chapter 14 and you read about the Feast of Tabernacles, you once again are going to see, you have to see, the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the Feast of Tabernacles fulfilled in Christ the King. The Feast of Tabernacles required tents that were made out of what kind of leaves? Palm leaves. And what did we see when Christ came riding to Jerusalem and they were the throng, the scripture says the throngs were saying, "Hosanna to the King." And what kind of leaves did they throw out before him? I'm telling you that all the prophecies that appear to be futuristic are all fulfilled in Christ. He's not a coming king. He's king right now. Now go back to Acts chapter 2, please, and we'll read again starting in verse 14. All the while remembering what's going on there in Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. This is some days after Christ ascended into heaven, having first spoken with his disciples concerning the kingdom of God, his imminent return to them, and his reminder to them of their task of preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jew first, then to the rest of the Roman Empire. Verse number 14. And I realize we've read this before, but it's very, very important that we fully understand in light of all the things that we've been talking about so far in today's message. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I just want to mention here real quick, I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and there was this Pentecostal preacher preaching the end times and speaking in tongues and all of that, and talking about, that we're in the last days and all of this. And he had a big giant video screen behind him, and it began with verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." And I just thought, man, why do you not put verse 15 and 16 up there? Why is it, and it shall come to pass in the last days, and that's big, huge, you know, giant video screen behind you. And then you want to talk about it, all this stuff being fulfilled today. And yet, we leave off completely, as conspicuous as can be, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Just amazing to me. But that's what they do. It's just incredible. But the scriptures are as clear as can be. Verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs. You can understand that these people knew exactly who Peter was talking about. It was barely 40 days from the time of the crucifixion of Christ. These people knew exactly who Peter was talking about. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of ye, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, Peter is now going to bring David into the conversation, as David was well regarded as being the greatest of all the earthly kings of Israel. The Davidic covenant, as we discussed in 2 Samuel chapter 7, was well known among the Israelites and was the great hope of Israel. Peter has already referred to the prophet Joel as being fulfilled by Christ. Now he's going to refer to David and how Christ fulfilled the promises to David. Verse number 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. See, this is why David was such a great king in Israel. This is why God had chose David to bless him the way that he did. Because everything that David saw, he looked to the promised Messiah. Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Please watch this very closely. If you don't have your Bible in front of you, make a note of this passage so that when you do have your Bible, you can see it for yourself. Verse 29, men and brethren, this is Peter speaking to on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, sworn with an oath to David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This is as clear as anything in the Word of God, what is being said here. To deny that the resurrection of Christ was the fulfillment of the prophecy spoken in 2 Samuel chapter 7 is to deny Christ himself. To say that the fulfillment of the prophecy or the Davidic covenant, if you will, was anything other than the resurrection of Christ is to twist the scriptures into something that they do not say. As you know from my other messages, rarely do I quote from other Bible versions, but I thought here, you know, I'm going to quote from a couple others just to make sure there's not some major discrepancy in what the King James or the Authorized Version says. This is what the New American Standard says, verse 29. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne. I think it's very interesting. That's all capital letters in the New American Standard. He looked ahead. David looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, fulfilling the promise to David, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which ye both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. Once again, the word Lord here means one who is supreme in authority. The Tyndale version says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre remaineth with us unto this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins should sit on his throne, he saw before and spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul should not be left in hell, neither his flesh should see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Since now that he by the right hand of God exalted is, and hath received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth that which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So therefore let all the house of Israel know for a surety that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, Lord and Christ. Even the Good News translation says this, my friends, I must speak to you plainly about our famous ancestor, King David. He died and was buried, and his grave is here with us to this very day. He was a prophet, and he knew what God had promised him. God had made a vow that he would make one of David's descendants a king, just as David was. David saw what God was going to do in the future, and so he spoke about the resurrection of the Messiah. When he said he was not abandoned in the world of the dead, his body did not rot in the grave. God has raised this very Jesus from death, and we are all witnesses to this fact. He has been raised to the right side of God, his Father, and has received from him the Holy Spirit as he had promised. What you now see and hear is his gift that he has poured out on us. For it was not David who went up into heaven. Rather, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit here on my right side until I put your enemies as a footstool under your feet. All the people of Israel then are to know for sure that this Jesus whom you crucified is the one that God has made Lord and Messiah. Finally, let's read from the Wycliffe Bible. Brethren, be it leaveful boldly to say to you of the patriarch David, for he is dead and buried, and his sepulchre is among us unto this day. Brothers, may it be lawful for me to boldly say this to you about the patriarch David, that he is dead and buried, and his tomb is here among us unto this day. Therefore, when he was a prophet, and knew that with a great oath God had sworn to him, that of the fruit of his loins should one sit on his throne, that a man from the fruit of his loins should sit on his throne, Wycliffe repeated it. He said it twice there. He, seeing afar, spake of the resurrection of Christ. He, seeing far ahead, spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah. For neither he was left in hell, neither his flesh saw corruption. God raised this Jesus to whom we all be witnesses. Therefore he was enhanced by the right hand of God, and through the promise of the Holy Ghost that he took of the Father, he shedded out this Spirit that ye see and hear. Also, and so was he exalted, or raised up, by the right hand of God, and through the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, he poured out this Spirit that ye now see and hear. It's amazing. When you look at the Wycliffe translation there, he actually says those things twice. I wasn't repeating. He was actually saying them twice. Very interesting. Verse 35, till I put thine enemies the stool of thy feet. And again, he says, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore, most certainly know that all the house of Israel, that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom he crucified. And so let all the house of Israel most certainly know that God made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. You know, lots of translations differ in a lot of places, but I haven't come across one that doesn't say that this passage, as clearly as it can be said, that the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7 was fulfilled by the resurrection of Christ. The modern preacher can do anything and everything he can to try to make the kingdom of God future, but we must not ever let them get by with twisting 2 Samuel chapter 7 into meanings that it does not have. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and anything other than the resurrection of Christ is deceit, either by pure ignorance of the word of God or by out and out deception, because men today do not want Christ to be king, no more than they did when Christ was here and the chief priests cried out, "We have no king but Caesar." As I was preparing for today's message, I listened for a few minutes to a very well-known modernist preacher who was teaching that 2 Samuel chapter 7 would be fulfilled in what he called the, quote, millennium, a word not even found in the scriptures. This is one of those doctrines that preachers created because they refused to believe that the prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. This preacher also read from Acts chapter 15. And so far in our studies of the book of Acts, we've seen over and over and over that Peter referred to an Old Testament prophet, then showed how that prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. I certainly see no reason to deviate from that pattern when we get to Acts chapter 15. Peter and Paul and the preachers in the book of Acts referred to things of the Old Covenant writings over and over and over, and then compared them to Christ and said, look, this is the fulfillment. These were the fulfillments. This is the days. This is the last days. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. The fulfillments are in Christ. Just as Peter had used David to preach Christ, Paul and Barnabas were using Moses in Acts chapter 15. In this passage, they were preaching salvation through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and how the gospel would be made available to the other nations. In Acts 15, verse 14, James stands up and he says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. Here again, it's a reference to the prophets. Look at what the prophets say. And now find the fulfillment in Christ. And to this agree the words of the prophets. As it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Once again, the prophecies find their fulfillment in Christ, not 2,000 years in the future. They're fulfilled in Christ. Let's look at another fulfillment of Bible prophecy in Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. He says, listen to me. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, now watch, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Look at it again. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Once again, the fulfillment of the prophecies was in Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up from him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. They said he fulfilled in Moses, fulfilled in the prophets, fulfilled in the Psalms. What else do we need? The prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. Verse 34, And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believed are justified from all things, which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. Oh, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. We read from Zechariah how that there would be some who would believe and they'd be blessed. Some would not believe, they'd be destroyed. This is what they're talking about here. This is exactly the same thing, because the fulfillments of the prophecies are fulfilled in Christ and in the time and place of the generation to which Christ was sent. Verse 41, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Also in this passage here, there's more fulfilled Bible prophecy than needs to be noted. This has to do with the many times where we read from Matthew chapter 24, and I kept emphasizing that Jesus said to his disciples 2,000 years ago. Let's keep reading with verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Go back and read again in Matthew chapter 23 what Christ said about these people. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, though, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Does anything come to mind here? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Back to verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now watch this. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Exactly what Christ said in Matthew chapter 24. They're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. They're going to throw you out of the temples. Now watch verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. In Mark chapter 6, Christ gave his disciples clear instructions when preaching the gospel. In verse 10, he said unto them, in what place whatsoever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Verse 11, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Yes, those people that Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet because they persecuted them, they were getting ready to have the judgment of God. That great and notable day of the Lord was coming, and it was coming in judgment on them. This coming judgment was in fulfillment of the words of Christ from Matthew chapter 23, when he said, all these things shall come upon this generation. I want to try to conclude the fulfillment of Bible prophecy as seen in the book of Acts by referring to Luke chapter 24. Some believers say that Luke wrote the book of Acts and that the book of Acts is a continuation of Luke's gospel. That's not really any great point of discussion to me, but I find great value in reading Luke chapter 24 as it sheds some insight into what the disciples' mindset was as they began their ministries described in the book of Acts. There's a particular verse in Luke 24 that I wanted to emphasize, but as is often the case, when I looked at verses before and verses after, I just kept enjoying so much of what I was reading, I just found myself at the beginning. So let's begin with verse 1 of Luke chapter 24. Verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher. This is the sepulcher of Christ. This is after he had been executed, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And the words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about threescore furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass herein these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were went with us to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Now I want you to start paying real close attention here. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, how much of the prophets did Christ want them to believe? He wanted them to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Stay with me now. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Christ expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can we now begin to get a glimpse of understanding as of the boldness these men had when they preached that Christ was king? Can we see the boldness these men had in facing a world that did not want any other king besides Caesar? Can we see how their faithfulness in preaching that there is another king, one Jesus, had turned the world upside down? Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is indeed risen and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Now watch, hold on tight. And he spake unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. How many things must be fulfilled? How many things that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms? All the prophecies are fulfilled in Christ. Why wouldn't they be? How could there be anything greater than the Son of God walking among men? How could there be anything greater than the resurrection of Christ from the dead? How could there be anything greater than God raising his Son from the dead and crowning him King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How can there be anything greater than this? Verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. See, this is why I felt the need to read this, because I think it's leads us right into the book of Acts. Do you understand this? Do you understand verse 52? And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They worshipped him and he let them. If he was not who he was supposed to be, do you realize what a horrible, awful thing this would have been for them to worship him? They finally knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this same Jesus who was crucified and hung on a cross, that God, as prophesied by Moses in the law and all the prophets of old, this same Jesus hath God made both Lord and Christ. Amen. Friends, he's not a coming king. He is King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords right now.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.